Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, Rochi.
Hi.
What's up, man?
All good, you?
Back at it again, huh?
Yes, sir.
We didn't scare you away after one day.
No.
All right, then.
I'm here, ready to go.
Okay, very good.
I'll be on Channel 4 tonight, 5, 6, 8, and 11.
Wow, you got a long day.
Do we? Yes. It's all good.
All right. Glad you're here.
Spring training games are underway. Celtics return to action tonight. Life is good. Waiting the trade deadline for
Monday.
How
long do they give you for sports now, time-wise?
Like 3 minutes.
That's not too bad.
Nope.
What did it used to be? Like 25, 30
like,
years ago?
Probably five.
Wow.
Five and a half. But that was when it was like six to seven. And remember, you could watch, like, you could go Lobel, Lynch, and Dennis. You know, when you did the, you could get them all because they were all on separate times. You can get your sports taken care of that way locally.
Okay. All right. Well, Rochi's got you covered on the news front. Here's something that's news related. And it's with the Boston Bruins. You're going to have this in the news tonight? A little trade that the Bruins made? Frank Vatrano? See you later. Is that going to be in there?
No, it was yesterday, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's still relevant, is it not?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's a fast news cycle you guys have there,
yes.
Huh?
What's going on today? We got trade deadline. We got everything else going on. Come on.
All right, well, the Bruins have traded Frank Vatrano, did this yesterday, for a third-round pick from the Florida Panthers. Trade deadline's not till Monday, Rochi, okay? Plenty of time left to operate.
Okay.
Plenty of time left for the Bruins to do something. But this, to me, in and of itself, is a good deal.
Good for both sides. I'm happy for Frank Vatrano, too.
I mean, this is a guy that, you know, everyone, like, fell in love with in the first 5 minutes he was here. And, of course, he's a UMass guy, so. Good guy.
Tremendous hands.
Good guy, right. So Frank Vatrano has been traded for a high third-round pick, which, again, just grading out the move itself. And I said I'm going to wait until the trade deadline is complete before we give the final grade here. But this trade in and of itself is a good deal for the Bruins. This is a great trade for Don Sweeney to have made. It feels to me like something bigger is about to happen. These don't feel like the moves. This feels like these are moves that are being made for something bigger to happen for the Bees. You agree? Disagree?
I find it very interesting. Basically, so what you did was you traded Frank Vatrano for Nick Holden in some ways, right? By getting that third rounder back that Sweeney gave up to get Holden. And they have 9 defensemen practicing with them right now in Toronto. That's where you start to say, when's the other shoe going to drop?
But also, Florida's third-round pick is going to be better than your third-round pick.
Yes.
So you also upgraded that pick along the way.
Absolutely. So I'm nothing wrong with that. But yet, to follow your next step, they do have 9 defensemen now with the team, which you don't see. So maybe something will happen over the next 24 to 48 hours. Or 30, 24, 48, then 72.
Yeah, do that math. Do that math. Also, I would say this. If you're all about the Bruins doing a big deal, you definitely want to read Steve Conroy in the Boston Herald today because he lays it out in just perfect order. He says, the time is right for the Bruins to make a big trade. And I think he's absolutely right. We've been saying this for weeks on this show. And he says, why the urgency this year? Let's count the ways. And I won't go into every detail he offers, but here are the bullet points. The health of David Krejci. Riley Nash having a career year. The performance of the fourth line. The performance of the backup goaltender. And this one is what I would put near the top here, is the performance of Zdeno Chara at this particular age.
Yes. TB12 like.
Right. And what they're getting out of him. You know, he went plant-based this year. That's what he's doing. What he is doing right now at his age is incredible. But I would also say that sort of extends to the guys who are not quite as old as Zdeno Chara. This extends to the rest of that core. And that sort of factors into the first point of David Krejci's health. The health of Krejci, the health and performance of Chara, Bergeron, who's having a career year. Throw Brad Marchand into that because I put him in that group of the older core guys that this team has. And Zoe and I discussed this last week. There's sort of the older group and the younger group on this team. The older group is healthy and performing at a high level. And you're not going to have that many more shots with that group. And that group is a group that has not only won a cup, but has been back to the finals.
And that was the problem going into the season, right? That was the problem. Like you kept looking at Chara, Bergeron.
Yes.
When, you know, you have this great core of youth all the way down through Providence. When are they going to meet? Will they ever meet? Because, you know, Bergeron and Chara are getting older and older, and it's all come together this season rapidly.
Yeah, the kind of season that Bergeron is having, the kind of season that Chara is having. Chara's been fantastic this week. The kind of years that those veterans are having, I feel like you owe it to them to make a move and make them feel confident and say, all right, we're going for this thing. You know, this isn't just lightning in a bottle, and maybe we'll make a little bit of a postseason run. Our front office, our management is making the decision that this is a team that can win a cup and drive them a little bit and get them going. And I think it's when you have the steady balance of veterans and youth, it's always good to add to the mix. Don't take away a lot from the mix, but add to the mix.
We've sort of been complaining or, you know, just kind of realizing the fact over the last couple of years that they were stuck in the middle, right? Are
yes.
they rebuilding? Are they going to blow it up? Which way are they going? You can't get caught in the middle. They're no longer caught in the middle. They're not. And they're on the right side of things. They're on the side of being able to compete to win it all. Because I think they've got as good a chance as anybody right now. And so that is it. I mean, what more of a case do you need to make for them to say, you know what, let's make the team even better here at this deadline. Let's give something up. Let's do a deal. Let's add in a significant way, and let's go for this thing right now. Let's go for it.
Then win a cup and build the ZC-33 right next door to the Garden. It's like TB-12, and it'll be, like, awesome, right?
ZC-33?
Yeah, Zdeno Chara 33.
Yeah, I like
TB-12.
That's like HR-13 for Hanley.
Right.
Yeah,
I like that. No,
right.
I think this team is... they're good enough. I mean, I see them as a legit contender. Are there questions? Sure, there are questions. But can they get by with what they have right now? Maybe. Do I feel a lot better about them getting by if they have an addition? Absolutely. I don't know if I'm dealing a lot of pieces for a guy like Rick Nash. I don't think Rick Nash is the kind of player that you go out and you spend, you know, multiple assets on. His age, he's not having a great season. He's going to be a rental. I don't know if that's the kind of guy that you say, okay, well, I'm going to give up multiple pieces for him. If you go out and get a McDonough, now you talk about multiple pieces. Grabner gone last night, second round pick and a prospect. So you're starting to see, you're starting to gauge the value of what players are going to bring back in return, and that's going to help. So we'll see. I mean, Sweeney's made two deals. I was not a big fan of the Holden deal. Thought they gave up too much. However, with the Vetrano deal yesterday, it makes the Holden deal look a little bit better, as
well,
you said.
It sort of balances them
yeah,
out.
Yeah, when you look at Florida's third-round pick, they're going to be, what, seventh, eighth pick in that round?
Right.
So you jumped up about 20
so
spots.
So now that you've got multiple moves made and you want to grade it so far, you would say it's neutral, right?
Pretty much,
there,
yeah.
There hasn't been any major gain here, but they've set themselves up to do something more, and they've cleared space with the trade of Vetrano, so they've got the availability to add a player like Nash, and I am in on Nash. I am for
I'm in
trading
on Nash
for Rick
too.
Nash.
I'm in on Nash, but it has to be the right deal is what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
I mean, you're not going to give up a lot for him, a ton, but a couple of, you know, draft picks, minor leaguers, what have you. It depends on the right mix to do him. How about this? Listen to this when it comes to should you go in or should you not, right? So on The Athletic, you read The Athletic website?
I don't have a subscription.
Yeah, I don't have a subscription.
Okay. Well, there's a place
you
on...
You obviously do.
There's a place on here with... They call it NHL Projections and Probabilities.
Okay.
Well, you'll find each team's projected record, playoff odds, and division odds, as well as their chances of making it to the Stanley Cup Final and winning the whole thing.
Where do the Bruins rank?
The projections are based on 50,000 simulations of the remainder of the season, which factors in each team's strength, current health, strength of schedule, opponent strength, venue rest. You can add more, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so the latest, as of, what's today's date? So February 23rd? The latest as of an hour ago, right? The projections for the Boston Bruins to win the Stanley Cup, what rank do you think they are out of all the teams in the NHL?
Two or three.
Tied for second.
Okay.
Nice.
There you go. That's basically two and three. Thank you very much.
Tampa Bay, 17%.
Nailed it.
Nailed
Boom.
It. Yep.
And then the Bruins and Nashville. Well, Nashville's ahead of them now. So it changed in the last hour.
So they're three now?
Yep.
So they were two, now they're three.
11% to win the cup, 19% to make the final, 45% to win the division.
Who has the biggest odds to win it all?
The longest odds or the best odds?
The best odds.
Tampa Bay.
And what's their percentage?
17%. Make the final 27%.
Okay. So they've got a 17% chance versus the Bruins at 11%? Yeah, they're in the same ballpark. That's what I'm saying. This team is good enough to be in the mix, right? They've got a better chance than most, but I think when you look at that top group, they've got a chance with all those teams, and if they add, their chances are going to be better.
Now, do you worry about going off if the Tampa Bay Lightning acquire McDonough? Does that worry you?
It should.
A la the Yankees good and player. The Red Sox?
It could be an arms race here in the coming days. Trade deadline coming up on Monday, and I think the Bruins are positioning themselves to do something big.
Or do you touch the chemistry? I mean, all of a sudden they've got this great chemistry this year. Their fourth line is like their fourth line of when they won
the
cup.
You know, I don't think they're trading away like major middle of the, you know, the team leadership type of guys that are going to disrupt the entire chemistry of the team. I don't think they're going to break it up to the point where there's someone that's really significant being traded. I don't.
So if Don Sweeney comes and says, you know, hey, we could have made a deal for player X, but I didn't want to give up what we were going to give up. We're just going to take in this veteran. We're going to have Holden and one, you know, veteran forward.
I don't feel they did enough, and players on that team shouldn't feel like they did enough.
So then what's the between?
Especially
here?
If those other good teams are going to be making deals.
But
ahead
you have
of
to
Monday.
Give up too much. What if they say we want Brandon Carlo and we want, you know, this?
Then you can trade Brandon Carlo. It's not the end of the world.
Okay.
All right? You can trade one of those young players. It's not going to disrupt and blow up the entire team because you traded away a younger player. It's not. 617-779-0985. Thoughts on the Bruins leading off the day? We're going to get to some opening thoughts with Cattles on the Celtics, and also coming up next, Dan Roach will tell us why Anders Bjork has ruined the Red Sox season. That's right.
Whoa!
How a Bruins player has ruined the Red Sox.
Hey, now.
He will explain that and give you his theory on this coming up next.
Solak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, so Hardy tells us this is the only song that anybody will ever recognize by Bjork.
I'm happy I don't recognize it.
Or this would be the most recognized song. I don't recognize it.
What is the name of the song? What is the title?
Human Behavior.
Okay.
Behavior spelled O-U-R.
Oh, of course.
Oh, of course. You gotta be different when you're Bjork.
I was listening to this on the way in.
No, you weren't.
It's inspiring. Listen to the lyrics.
All right, so explain this to us, Roachy. Anders Bjork, who is done for the season, he's had shoulder surgery, which will end his year. Tell me.
Everybody's in angst.
Tell me about this. What is your connection with him and the Red Sox?
The Bruins released a statement yesterday of what happened with Bjork. He's out for 6 months with the shoulder surgery.
Correct.
And everybody's in angst over what's going on with J.D. Martinez and why the physical is taking so long and the results and everything else. Well, if you read the Bruins statement, that says who performed the surgery on Anders Bjork, yesterday or Tuesday. It's this Red Sox team doctor, one of the team doctors, the head guy, Peter Asnes. Works for both the Bruins and the Red Sox. So he wasn't available. He was up here in Boston performing surgery, shoulder surgery, on Anders Bjork.
Yes.
Physically, mentally exhausted after the performance.
Oh, stop it.
hasn't had time to gather himself yet.
Broken down. He was broken down.
And look at everything, the charts and the MRIs, which take a long time nowadays. You can't email them. You can't do things like that.
Wait. No, that's not true. It's the opposite of that, Roachy. You can email them. You can send them digitally. He could look at them as soon as they're available down in Florida. They could be available now in Boston.
But these doctors are busy. You ever try to make an appointment for a specialist after you go see your primary care physician? It takes forever to get it done. And I know this is a multi-billion-dollar corporation we're talking about and everything else, but these things, sometimes with the doctors and everything, getting everything ordered and looked at, and you know, Peter may have to consult with a foot specialist if it's, you know, what's going on with the foot with Martinez. So these things do take time, so... In other words, chill out a little bit, everybody. It's okay. All right? That's all. That's my big nugget.
So you are not at all.
It's kind of a slow D.
So Roach's theory here is that the reason why the Red Sox signing of Martinez is being held up is because Bjork had to have surgery.
Yes. Part of it.
So yeah. You're not concerned at all?
You have zero
concerns.
At this
point, no, not yet.
Okay. Well, when do you get concerned?
Like, if it goes through the weekend.
Okay.
You know? Then they're looking at something, obviously, and looking for second opinions and everything else.
So you think we should hear something by the next
today.
What?
If there's not a press conference by the end of the day today, then you'd be concerned.
All right.
Okay, I'm just saying a little hiccup might have been caused by that. Okay, it's my big conspiracy theory
so
of the
day.
So
you don't think there's anything to the theory that there might be something wrong knee-wise?
Not
with,
yet.
With Martinez.
You know, all guys show up with issues. It's just a matter of how much. And he's going to be your DH. You know, unless he's got major issues where he needs an operation right now, then all good.
I do think if he didn't have the history that he's had, there would be less worry out there, right? Because this is somebody who one of his fatal flaws has been the inability to play 150 games. So now you start to wonder if the accumulation of injuries in prior years are catching up to him. And, you know, did the Red Sox see something that stood out to them? Like you're saying, Roach, you know, maybe a second opinion. Maybe, hey, what's going on with the foot? He had a foot issue last year to start the season.
Right.
He
Where's
messed
our foot
up his
specialist?
Elbow.
He might be on vacation. It might be, you know, it's Christmas vacation or February vacation for all these kids. He may be on vacation, so we have to get it to him after we get it to Dr. Asness. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could happen that could delay these physicals. And plus, Boris had to come from Arizona where he was with Hosmer for the Hosmer press conference. He had signed Hosmer the day before. So there were all kinds of issues. And Boris is now, I guess, in town. So I think it's just, it'll happen.
As long as it happens by the end of the day.
Yes, then I'll go into complete panic.
Okay. You're going to freak out?
Yes.
Okay. Like 4 o'clock?
But do you think
like
the Red
close
Sox...
close of business?
3:59, I'm fine.
All right. 4 o'clock hits, you're done.
So do you think it's fair that the Red Sox are probably looking at this saying, well, we want to make sure we're not signing a 30-year-old guy who has a knee problem?
Yeah, absolutely, but every team is doing that too.
Okay, but what if he does? What if he does have something that they're
then
worried?
Then you figure it out. You either start to renegotiate or you break the deal. I mean, that's why there's a physical. That's why people say agreement
in principle. Okay, so that's sort of my thing. Like,
I know, but
like,
don't panic. It's
I'm
it's
not
like,
panicking,
it's everybody.
I'm just saying
God,
they're
maybe
taking...
This, maybe it's that. Maybe it's... Just wait.
They've been looking at this thing for multiple days now, and if they get to...
You don't
to
know
the,
that. If, he had his physical. When did he have his physical?
If they get to
2 days
point,
ago?
If they get to the point...
That, yes, if, but why speculate? Why get nervous about it? Why?
Because I think people aren't used to...
Because there's nothing
to...
going on, that's
because
why.
Normally the deal is done by now and it's announced.
No,
and
not necessarily.
Talking to
Did
this
you
guy
see all
the
other players
they've been
that
talking to this guy all winter.
David Price, it took 2 days. Carl Crawford, it took days. I mean, that stuff happens. Especially when you get a deal done in spring training and this close to getting started with spring training. It's a very late deal being done. That's all. I'm not saying there's not anything wrong. Oh my God, then we'll panic. But now is not the perfect time to panic. Ha ha, that's a movie line from Toy Story.
Well, right. 4 o'clock is, so
yes.
Well, we're counting down to Roachie's panic.
Yes.
Are you going to tweet all panicked at 4 o'clock if it's not announced by then?
Promise.
Awesome. All right.
So you think there is nothing out of the norm as it relates to this?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Why, do you?
Ever the optimist, Dan Roach.
Do you really
I'm starting to think there's something going on here. I'm starting to think that there is something happening that they're concerned about, and it's probably going back to what you're talking about, where maybe not the full-blown renegotiation, but the we want to work in some of that J.D. Drew, John Lackey injury protection.
And you wonder
like
how...
Like one of those conversations is happening.
If that conversation does happen, how does Martinez feel with all the reports about him being frustrated about the negotiation to begin with? Is Boris willing to acquiesce to some of those contract demands because... He wanted $200 million for his King Kong of Slug or whatever the hell. And, you know, is that going to be an issue with him? If the Red Sox do have to go back, I mean, I'm not panicked. I'm not panicked at all. If this thing does drag throughout today, I do think the worry ratchets up, and it should. There's no doubt about that. I mean, if this guy, it's 4 days ago he signed the deal or agreed to it. So if you get to later today, if this thing continues to drag, yeah, there should be some concern. And if the Red Sox have to go back to Boris about some kind of situation here, you wonder how open-minded Boris will be to get the deal done, or does he go back to Arizona and say, hey, are you guys willing to give us X amount for the first 2-3 years of this deal without having to back away? And so now
it depends
on
what the issue is.
Right, right.
You know, that's all part of it, too. It would depend on that. I mean, I'm sure if there's an issue, I'm sure Martinez and Boris knew about it going in. right? I mean, unless the Red Sox are totally, like, you know, nitpicking and looking for something like we've seen in the past.
I mean, let's remember the Isaiah Thomas trade with Cleveland, you know?
Right.
According to Danny Ainge and the Celtics, they were an open book to Cleveland, gave them all the notes, all the tests, gave them everything they possibly could to describe the condition of Thomas's hip, and Cleveland looked at it and said, well, wait a minute.
Until you get your hands on him, you don't know.
Right. Maybe,
so that's part of it.
Maybe Boris and Martinez thought, well, this isn't that big of a deal, but something that a Sox doctor sees might flash to them and say, wait a minute, this might be a little bit more serious than we first thought. So you could have the differing opinions between Martinez and his camp and the Red Sox doctors. That's certainly a possibility here.
Yeah, and then that's when the conversations begin, and they go back and forth and all that kind of stuff. And remember, he's coming here primarily to be a DH, too. So that might be a factor, too. If he's got some type of issue, it could be, well, you know, he's going to be a DH, so he doesn't have to do that much stress out to his body, like play the outfield every single day and things like that. But again, that's premature. Now, that could happen if things continue to go forward like we're seeing without any press conference, but I think for now, I think it's just things tend to logistically take time.
I mean, can this team afford to lose Martinez? That's what I'm wondering. Like, if it does go down that road and Martinez walks away, what's plan B? And can the Red Sox be confident in plan B? Or was this, hey, we waited for Martinez, played the game perfect. He was our number one target. Now this thing fell apart. Where do we go? I mean, I'm sure Dombrowski has a contingency.
Yeah.
But is it a sexy contingency?
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on that? If the J.D. Martinez deal all of a sudden falls apart on the Red Sox and J.D. Martinez, I'm not buying in on Bjork having surgery, which is causing the delay. Sorry, Rochie. Can't get on board with that theory.
It was a great tease.
Cannot do it. Yep. That theory is about as terrible as this song. That's what I would say.
Cattles
has headlines, and Cattles has a thought on the Celtics coming back on the other side.
Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox swept their doubleheader versus Northeastern and Boston College to start their spring training yesterday. Today, the Sox will face the Twins, 1 o'clock first pitch. Sox, by the way, still waiting to announce the J.D. Martinez deal after yet another delay yesterday. Meanwhile, Marco Hernandez, it's been announced, will not play this spring. Had a setback in that shoulder, the surgery he had during the year last year, so he's not going to be available for the spring. Celtics finally back on the floor tonight after their long All-Star break. C's will be in Detroit to play the Pistons. Marcus Smart expected back. Celtics tonight starts at 6:30 with Grandy and Max right here on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network. Bruins have another day off today before playing the Maple Leafs in Toronto tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Bees traded forward Frank Vetrano to the Florida Panthers for a 2018 third-round pick. Reportedly, the Bruins remain in the mix for Rangers defenseman Ryan McDonagh. Bees are now 3 points back of the Lightning with 3 games in hand after Tampa Bay beat Ottawa last night. Finally, some major men's college basketball news from Yahoo Sports as Pete Thamel writes that players from at least a dozen Division I programs have been identified as possibly breaking NCAA rules through violations that were uncovered by the FBI's investigation into corruption in the sport. The identified schools include Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan State, and Kansas. At least 25 players are linked to impermissible benefits, and at least 6 players were identified in the documents as receiving payments exceeding $10,000, including Dallas Mavericks point guard Dennis Smith Jr., and 2017 number one NBA draft pick Markelle Fultz. Headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Go to getanoilchange.com now to save up to $15 on your next oil change. Print out the coupon and pull it up on your mobile device. I'm Nick Cattles. Headlines coming up at 11 o'clock.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore us.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is way better than Bjork.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who doesn't like it?
Anything is better than Bjork, I think.
Yeah.
Almost anything. Do you find Bjork attractive, Beatle, or no?
I don't even know what she looks like.
No?
I was going to say Anders.
She's kind of, she's unique looking.
Oh, really? I've never heard of her.
Yeah. Well, given that this is the first image
Hardy,
that
I, weird
wait
one,
a minute. Given know? That this is the first image that I found on the internet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's not even a person. What is that?
I mean, I think this is, let me see. I don't want to break anything here.
Hardy likes weird music, so I thought it was just one of his weird people thing.
I guess I can't do that. I just broke the computer.
Yeah, there you go.
Probably don't want to do that. Look at the other images. Let me see. That thing goes
Now it's an iPad, Nick.
Now it's an iPad.
Nick just,
I got a tablet.
Nick just broke the monitor right off the stand.
All right, hold on.
And
time
just
out.
Made it into a tablet. Is that? I don't think that's a touchscreen.
Hold on,
though.
Let me work on this.
We're going to have a problem there.
All right, we're back.
I think I have some.
A little crooked, but we're good. There's a black and white one.
Yeah, there's that one, right?
Yeah,
that one. Right?
That one. Yeah, sure.
See?
Yeah, definitely. All right, what do you got on the Celtics, Nick?
All right.
Your opening thought as we get to it here at 10:38. Opening thoughts all around.
I just think, you know, you look at this team and how they've played over the last 15 games or so, and they've lost their identity. And I want to see what changes Stevens comes up with tonight. I want to see if there's a change in the starting lineup. He has mentioned there are going to be changes in the rotations. What are those going to look like? If you make a change in the starting lineup, I would put Marcus Smart at the two. I would slide Jaylen Brown to the three and put Tatum on the bench. Put the pressure off of Tatum, and I also think that helps Kyrie with ball handling and, you know, defensively to have Smart out there. He's just responsible. So I wonder what they're going to do rotation-wise and with that lineup, and this is one of the bigger challenges that Stevens has faced since he's been here with Boston, and it's going to be the level of expectations from the beginning of the season to how people were feeling right before the All-Star break. Couldn't have been more different. So what team do we have? I tend to agree with Cedric Maxwell and Grandy on the show talking about there was a somewhat of a market correction. They're not as good as they were when they started the season 22-4 or whatever it was. And Stevens did a great job at that time warning people we're not as good as this 16-game winning streak. People have to realize that. And I do think now some see the flaws within this team. So I think it's fascinating to see what the Seas do over the next couple of weeks. I mean, last night, the Cavaliers lose to Washington in Cleveland. You know, after the first couple of games with the new-look Cavs, a lot of people were trying to shove that team down our throats. Oh, this is, you know, look how great they are. Everybody
LeBron.
Settled down. I mean, everybody relaxed. Everybody was fired up and shooting well. And then last night, they take a step back. So what team do we see tonight? Do we see a refreshed team? Do we see what's going to happen with this starting lineup? Does Stevens make a dramatic change? Does he make a couple of changes? So I'm just looking at tonight's game to see where this team is going to go in the near future and what they're thinking of doing when it comes to balancing out some of these minutes.
I thought he made it sound more like it was going to be with the second unit that he was going to do something.
Right, because he said rotations,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, trying to get their rotations down so differently. I mean, the one obvious, like the one would say, okay, how do you get Greg Monroe involved a little bit more? Those kind of things. And with the return of Smart, that should help them defensively. So beyond that, you know, you hope the rest of a week off for Brown and Tatum basically rejuvenates them to where they get back to. I don't know if the Tatum finger injury is an issue, but you want him to get back to where he's shooting the ball well. That'd be a huge key for the Celtics offense. But I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to watch Brad. It's mentally, too. They were grinding to get to that All-Star break. And once you get over that break, everything's refreshed. And again, what's the biggest thing with defense? It's effort. That's the biggest thing that you see of it. So maybe we start to see that tonight.
Well, it's a chance to hit the reset button coming out of the break.
Right.
Right? And when you have young players, it's probably more important for them than the veterans.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Kyrie Irving doesn't need to hit the reset button. Al Horford doesn't need a reset button here. Those guys can go right back and pick up where they're supposed to be. Younger guys, mentally, probably needed it.
Tatum was talking after the first preseason game that he wasn't used to this, having to travel. The first regular season game, going from, you know, the game in Cleveland and coming back and playing the next night at home. And he was already talking about then, man, it's exhausting. You really have to get your sleep and everything else. So, yeah, brand new adjustment for a guy like him.
One thing to pay attention to, I think, as well, the first five or six games out of this break is Al Horford. What does Horford look like? Because I thought he looked very sluggish over the last few weeks. And I don't know if he's dealing with something. He bumped knees at one time and was kind of, you know, gimpy a little bit on the floor at one point. Is he dealing with something from a health standpoint, or is he just 31 and had to, you know, did a lot to begin this year and is starting to slow down? I would hope it's the former, not the latter. See how he's moving, see how he looks, because if you have a sluggish Horford, that is going to hurt this team big time.
Marvin's in Belmont on the Celtics. Hi, Marvin.
How you doing?
What's up?
All right, so my question is, what do you guys think about the Celtics? Pretty much, I think we only have up to like seven players that are really doing good. I'm thinking about putting Tatum on the bench for more scoring power. I wanted to know what you guys think about that.
I wouldn't be worried about the scoring. If you're moving Tatum to the bench, I think you do it for defensive purposes, and I think you do what I had just brought up a few minutes ago. I'd start Smart. And people are worried about Smart's offense. Here's the thing. You don't have to worry about Smart's offense if he's out there with the starting five. You have Kyrie, you have Jalen, you have Horford. So, you know, he would be the fourth option at best offensively. His job will be, hey, run pick and roll, ball handle to take some of those responsibilities and pressure off of Kyrie, allow Kyrie off the ball more to use the screen game, and teams won't be able to blitz Kyrie at half court and try to take him out of the game and play him physical. So, you know, putting
and to bring in energy. Right?
Yeah, and to set the tone, I think. You know, that's been an issue with this team. You mentioned effort, Rochie. I know Grandy kind of bristled at me when I questioned the effort. I still question the effort. I don't think this team was making those multiple efforts you need to do or need to make to be a successful defensive team in that league. So you know what's Smart right off the bat, right off the jump. He is someone that's going to give that effort, energy, and every single possession defensively, he's going to fight. He's going to pressure the basketball. He's going to be in the passing lanes. He's going to fight through screens.
617-779-0985. Bruins and Celtics in the mix. And we also have some Patriots news. Oh. We'll get to that coming up next.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Here is the Patriots news today. This tweet from Ian Rappaport short time ago. 10 minutes ago, to be exact. He reports, despite publicly contemplating retirement last season, Patriots tight end Martellus Bennett wants to continue playing, I'm told. He's due a $2 million roster bonus on March 14th, so New England has a decision, but his $6.2 million cap hit isn't bad. That from Ian Rappaport. So Martellus Bennett is either legitimately wanting to play right now, or he legitimately wants a $2 million bonus to be paid on the 14th of March. And the reason why he might think that publicly stating or letting it be out there that he wants to play is if he does want to play and he wants to be back and is committed and convinces the Patriots that he wants to come back, maybe there's a chance that they pay that roster bonus to keep that very reasonable cap hit of $6 million if they think he's going to come back and play 16 games. My more likely scenario would be that the Patriots are going to cut his ass long before March 14th and say, oh, you want to play? Well, you're going to need a contract. Let's come up with the terms.
Does Gronk factor in here?
I think it does.
Has to, right?
And I think that Rob Gronkowski needs to give the Patriots a decision sometime soon. That can't wait. And we were going to get to this today anyway. That needs to happen sooner rather than later. So
absolutely.
The league year is only a few weeks away now, and that's why we're talking about a date like the 14th for Bennett. He basically needs to let them know, I would say by like this time next week, right? Give him another week, give him until the end of the start of March, and say, okay, Rob, we need an answer. What's your deal? And that's two-part. Number one, are you coming back? And I think that answer is going to be yes. But number two is, are you coming back, and are you going to need more money to come back? Right? There's that money component
too. Right.
Yeah, I think he wants to be paid as the top tight end in the game, and he deserves to be paid as the top tight end in the game. Talking about Gronk, of course. As far as Bennett, I think this is great news for the Patriots. I think they have all the leverage in the world. I don't know how many teams are going to be jumping at the chance to sign Bennett. So you don't really lose much by letting him go. If they cut him, he's not going to be worth any dead money on the cap, and you can go back to him and work out a deal and say, listen, Martellus, you want to come in and show us that you're in great shape, you want to get with the program again, and you know we're looking to add to that position, and we're open-minded to bring you back and have you on this team, but at our number. And I just don't think Bennett has really any kind of leverage to say no. I mean, Think about how things ended in Green Bay for him. The rest of the league looked at that and said, this was an inside job.
Yep.
This Patriots-Bennett relationship, this thing was cooked, and everybody knows it. And, you know, it's a situation where I don't know how many teams in the league will trust Martellus Bennett going forward, other than the Patriots. So if he's going to come back, I really see New England as his only option almost to come back and prove his worth again.
So the ideal scenario for Patriots fans would be, at this time next week, you will know that Rob Gronkowski is coming back to play next year, and you'll know that either they're going to work out a contract or extension or refigure his contract, or he's just coming back, period. And somehow, some way, you don't have to pay that bonus to Martellus Bennett, which is Beadle mentioned, never going to get it. You restructure him, and that's your tight ends going into training camp.
And I also think
that's ideally what you'd love to have, because you'd love Bennett back at a good price as an insurance for Gronk getting hurt, but also Brady loves him. And we know what he can do when he's healthy. So that would be the ideal scenario for this football team.
You could go from having almost no depth at the tight end position in certain scenarios, right? You can have Gronk walk away. You can have Bennett be cut and be gone. You can drop Allen and have nothing and be left with Hollister walking into the offseason. Now you're looking at the possibility of, hey, what if Gronk decides to come back? You pay him. Then you are able to bring back Bennett at a much, 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 much lower number. And if you bring Bennett back on a lower number, I know Dwayne Allen had issues with Brady last year. It seemed like they weren't on the same page. However, would Allen be open-minded to coming back as mostly just a blocking tight end like he was last year? Because if you can go into a season with Gronk, Bennett, Allen, and Hollister, yes, there are going to be questions. But if everything falls right, that's pretty damn good. That's good depth at that position.
Absolutely.
And if you have Allen, why would I bring Allen back as that blocking tight end? Well, if Gronk is concerned about all these injuries he's had, we know that he is one of the best blocking tight ends in the game. If you want to take some of the wear and tear away from him and say, we're going to run a one tight end package out there and have that guy block, well, maybe now you can take some of the snaps away from Gronk because he's getting paid without the incentives. You can take some of his snaps away and use Allen as that big, beefy, blocking tight end.
But if you're paying him, you're going to want him on the field.
Who, Allen?
Gronk? It's Gronkowski, because you have to account for Gronk even if he's not running routes.
Right. No, you want him on the field, but you don't. What I'm saying is you might not have to play him, you know, I don't know what the percentage snaps were, 80 to 85, whatever it was. You can scale back some snaps if you want.
I just don't think the team is going to want to pay him more and play him less.
Well,
they're not going to have much of a desire to do that, and Bill Belichick's not going to have a desire to do that.
I mean, I think it depends on what you want, right? If you feel like the best thing that you can do as a team is have a fully healthy Gronk going into the postseason, and you think that taking some snaps, again, I'm not saying drop his snaps precipitously. But if you take some snaps away and you feel that gives your team a better chance to have a healthy Gronkowski in the postseason, I think you do what Belichick always says is do the best for the football team. So we'll see. But I think it's good news because now the Patriots have the leverage in this deal. If they want Bennett back, they can bring him back. Brady and him get along great. He can be another piece, another weapon. So looking at it optimistically, you could end up feeling pretty damn good about your team's depth at that position a week from now. Or it could be a disaster.
Right.
Gronk could walk away.
There'll be complete panic.
Yeah.
I mean, Patriots fans.
I don't know if there's going to be an in-between. You know, you can have Gronk bounce, Bennett be cut, Allen cut, and walk in and say, man, we got to draft a tight end or two and sign a free agent tight end.
Beadle would all go all J.D. Martinez on us.
That's right. I just wonder, Rochie, you know, do the Bruins doctors also take care of the Patriots players? Because then something might get in the way of that.
They have in the past, some. Right, so, yes, it's all tied together.
Will Bjork get in the way of an extension from Gronk? Who knows?
Could be the whole Anders Bjork thing. Tie everything together this offseason.
And, by the way, the WWE factor is real, right? There was a report out there that they would be willing to pay him like $5 million.
Yeah.
What would you do? Contract.
It'd be hard to turn that down. I mean, I guess you have to figure out, okay, I'm going to play one more year, maybe two more years, or I'm done. But because you think that that's always going to be there, right? Don't you think that his popularity is never going to go down, at least for the next several years? And he'll have that option when he retires? Or do you sit there and say, you know what? My body's been crushed. You know, the concussions and just everything, the surgeries, the back, the knees. Do you just say, you know what?
Right.
I'm comfortable.
No one's going to retire because of the the idea that they want to go do wrestling more than they want to do the NFL. It's they're thinking about retiring because they don't think they want to play in the NFL
anymore.
And
this is my push.
And the push and the idea that there's something waiting on the other side can help you make that transition.
Like Tony Romo.
Where you say,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Where you're on the fence, you feel like you want to retire, you're not quite sure, but the security of knowing there's another job for you and there's a something for you to get up and be doing every day and working on every day and getting a really decent salary out of as well is sort of the thing you need to get over the hump.
Right. And I don't
if you're afraid of retirement.
Yes.
If you know you want to retire but you're afraid of it,
yep.
That can help you be less afraid of it.
I don't see it with him though because of how much he loves the game. You know what I mean? Every time you talk Gronk lately,
I don't think he's
into X's and O's. He's into talking with Brady and figuring this out and that out on offense. He's very much into the game.
You can't rule out, though, the Alex Guerrero thing. Does he want to put himself through that again this year? All the stuff he had to go through with the TB12 method and the Guerrero stuff, that's a grind.
That's a grind
every day. Remember Ortiz when he retired?
Right.
I can't go through this, the constant, I got to get in and get my foot worked on every single day. The way Gronk likes to live his life doesn't seem to mesh with the Guerrero lifestyle, and he did it all last season. He's got to wonder himself, is it worth going through this again or take a little less money, live my normal life, and go be a wrestler?
But the flip side of that is he's already done it once. Do you know what I mean? So he's done it, and he's been through it, and he sees the results, sees that he's healthy for a full season. And, absorbing the loss after a Super Bowl is tough for everybody. But
so is David Ortiz.
But it's a different lifestyle.
David was different, though.
He was also older.
But David's Achilles were just shot. Basically, he didn't have any Achilles tendons left. The only way he could play was to get there 6 hours to the park early. I don't know if that's the case with Gronk. The only way he can play is by being there 8 hours before game time and having everything worked on and then go. It doesn't appear that way yet. But with Ortiz, it was a matter of he couldn't play unless he had that done.
I think you look at the Guerrero relationship. Look at the Guerrero relationship with Gronk, and it was a good thing. It obviously helped him this year. And I think Gronkowski would look at the Guerrero relationship and say to himself, well, that really made a difference in my playing ability because he was healthy for the full stretch for the first time in a long time. So if he's coming back, I think the Guerrero thing might actually help him say, I'm going to come back. As far as the WWE stuff, I don't know if this makes you guys feel differently of me or not, but I would consider myself the wrestling guy right now on this show, right? So I know Brock.
Oh, yeah, you're the guy.
Brock Lesnar will,
own it, baby.
Brock Lesnar will make. I do. Brock Lesnar, he makes, upwards of $4 or $5 million, and he's working 20 dates or so a year. So I would also say if you're looking at the WWE or professionally acting, there's definitely a better feeling about Gronk in the WWE because you believe that he might be able to do that and do that well. If he goes into acting and his acting career flames out quickly, then what's he do for the next 30, 35 years? Wrestling is something where, hey, if I can make $4 or $5 million a year for the next 5 to 8 years and work 20 dates a year...
Mm.
It's pretty enticing.
Coming up next, we have sound of Devin McCourty, who has clarified his comments from earlier in the week about...
No sound.
Malcolm Butler. We don't? That's not it?
No, the link you sent me was a GIF of Belichick just walking
down. Oh, I thought that was the sound of it.
Can we play the GIF?
I'm sorry. I'll tell you what Devin McCourty said. He has clarified his comments. We don't need the sound. I'll tell you exactly what he said.
What I want to also get into, Beatle, is you had some fascinating story about... paperless tickets. I think it's pretty fascinating.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Slow your roll, Roche.
Oh,
okay?
Sorry.
Roche, calm down, will you?
We're only 1 hour into the four-hour show.
It's Friday.
Okay?
My goodness.
All right.
You're absolutely right, Dan. You're absolutely right. we're going to get to that. We'll get up to that in a couple of minutes as well. But let's get the latest from Devin McCourty, who added to what he said earlier in the week about Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl, and also get to your calls as well. 617-779-0985. That is next. 90 seconds away.